Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
With your Bible in hand, and we're going to do as we do each and every week. We like to declare before we read the Word, before we look to the Word, which is perfect and holy and good, we hold it up and say this, say, I am what His Word says I am. I can do what His Word says I can do. I can be who His Word says I can be. So today, I'll receive the Word of God. I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll obey the Word because I love His Word. In Jesus' name, stay standing. Isaiah chapter 9, this is our main text as we go through the gifts of Christmas that God has given to us. And when I say the gifts, I'm talking about Jesus. But in Jesus, there are multiple gifts because when we find Jesus, we find everything that we need. How many of you guys, when you got saved, you didn't realize how much you needed Jesus, but as you got to know Jesus, you realize in Jesus, Jesus is every single thing that I need. In Jesus is hope. In Jesus is peace. In Jesus is joy. In Jesus is provision. In Jesus is guidance. In Jesus is security. So there are so many different gifts that God gave us just through Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, because it says, "For unto us a child is born." That's how we know Jesus is a gift from God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So Jesus is a gift. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Pray with me as you stay standing today. Father, I thank You that every single thing that You have spoken, that will You also perform. And we can put our faith in You today, knowing that our faith will not fail. It will not falter as long as it is put in You. And we thank You, Jesus, that You are wonderful. We thank You that You are a counselor. We thank You that You are a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Thank You that everything that we need is found in Jesus the Christ, who was given to us as a gift. And we don't want to take the gift of Jesus for granted. We don't want to look past it. So today, I pray that every heart and every mind would be in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying, and that You would speak to our hearts as Your church, God. As we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, I believe that You are going to do a work in us that no man can reverse, no man can turn back, no man can put a damper on, because what God does, no man can stop. And we thank You for that today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Like I said, today we're going to continue our series on the gifts of Christmas and talking about what we have received from Jesus. Last week we talked about the Word and how important the Word of God is in our life, how it prepares us, how it purifies us, how it protects us. And I truly believe that as you apply the Word of God to your life, you're going to see that take place in your life. You're going to realize, wow, what I used to not be ready for, I'm now ready for and I'm prepared for. Why? Because I've been standing in the Word. I used to feel shame and guilt and condemnation, but no longer do I feel it. Why? Because how shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed according to the Word of God. By the washing of the water, and the sanctification comes through the Word of God. And I believe that you're going to see God's Word be a lamp under your feet and a light under your path to direct your way and where you go. But today I want to talk to you about the gift of grace. And this is one of my favorite topics to preach on, because grace is probably one of the most underrated things that God gave to man. I know we talk a lot about grace in church. I know we sing a lot about grace in church, but I think the reason I say that it's underrated is so many people think that grace is one-dimensional, meaning grace is just God forgives me for what I did wrong. Well, I sinned, but there's grace for that sin. Yes, God will forgive you and God will cleanse you by His grace, but there is so much more to grace. Grace is not one-dimensional. Grace is powerful. In fact, the Bible says by the manifold of His grace. That means a manifold means it's multifaceted. The grace of God is so important and necessary in our life. And so today I'm going to talk about the gift of grace that we received in Jesus Christ. And my main goal is that by the end of today's sermon, that you are convinced of the power of God's grace, and also that you would be convinced of your need for his, the need that you have for his grace in your life. That tomorrow morning you would wake up and you would be able to say, God, I can't do it without your grace. It's by your grace that I stand. It's by your grace that I'm walking this out. It's only by your grace that I am able to be who you have called me to be. So I want to convince you today of the manifold grace of God, the multifaceted way that the grace of God works. Because if not for grace, realize this, we are hopeless beings with dead-end destinies. Without the grace of God, no single person can fully walk into what God has called us to, who he has created us to be. We will all come short of the destiny that he created. And yes, you have a destiny. Yes, you have a purpose. Yes, you have a reason for being alive. But without the grace of God, we will never reach the destiny and the plan and the purpose. We won't walk in the power. We won't walk in the anointing. We won't, because listen, if it weren't for grace, we don't deserve the anointing or the favor or the blessing or the calling or the destiny. But it's because of his grace that he looks at us and he says, I see you not as guilty, not as filthy, but as purified and cleansed and sanctified and empowered by the grace of God to be who he's called you to be. But thanks to the gift of Jesus, we have received and been shown grace by our Father in heaven. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. I want to look at this scripture today because I believe a lot of people don't quite understand what this is fully saying. But in Romans the third chapter, Paul writes, and he says this. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Wow, that's encouraging, isn't it, this morning? I just want to let you know, no matter how perfect you prepared your face to be when you came to church this morning, because for some reason, we all feel the need to be perfect when we come to church. How you doing, brother? I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm too blessed to be stressed. If I was any better, I'd be in heaven. Like, we just feel the need to act like we're perfect when we come to church. Listen, you know you're not perfect. We know you're not perfect. So quit acting like you're perfect, okay? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I want to point something out here. It doesn't say all have sinned and fallen short, but fall short. Fallen short would be past tense, meaning, yeah, you fell once. No, it's saying all have sinned and fall short, meaning they have, they will, and will continue to fall short of the glory of God. No man, no woman, no child will ever measure up to the glory of God. None of us could ever be good enough. None of us could ever be holy enough. None of us could ever be righteous enough, gifted enough, talented enough. We have all fallen and will fall short of the glory of God. Now, I'm going to fix this in just a second, so don't worry about it. But you have to understand this. Sometimes you got to hear bad news to get to the good news, right? That's like whenever somebody says, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. What do we always say? Let's hear the bad news first. In other words, let's get it out of the way, right? So here's the bad news. The bad news is we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God, okay? The Greek word for fall short is the word husteraio, all right? Husteraio. And it means to come up lacking. So what Paul is essentially saying is every single person has missed the mark that God prepared for them because God prepared perfection, but because of sin and because of man's ways, we have missed the mark that God prepared, and we all come behind lacking when it comes to the standard of God's glory. Not having enough, not being enough. You know, when the enemy comes to you to discourage you, to get in your ear and to tell you you're not good enough, you will never measure up to the standard that God has, that God has prepared. You aren't worthy. You aren't good enough. You need to agree with him. Why? Because it says in the Word of God, we've all sinned and none of us can measure up. We all come behind lacking in the glory of God. And then you need to remind yourself and you need to remind the devil. But what you forgot about, devil, is the grace of God. Because it's not in my human ability that I stand before God and try to measure up. It's only by his grace that I can stand and realize that I can attain what he has called me to. I can be the man or the woman of God that he created me to be. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. You need to remind him and remind yourself about the grace that is in Jesus, because in and of ourselves, it is true that we will never be enough. We will never measure up, always lacking, never able to reach that standard. But the grace of God by which we stand will elevate us to walk not in the sin, not in the shame, but above the sin and above the shame that we have committed and we are deserving of that we once walked in. I love what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But it doesn't end there. In verse 21, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. What he's saying is, I'm not tricked into thinking that I can measure up to the standard that God has prepared for my life apart from the grace of God. But so many times we think if I just try harder, if I just do better, if I put on my right face and my right attitude and my right mindset, when we do that, we are making ourselves God in thinking that we can perfect ourselves. But even Paul, who was the greatest apostle to ever live, wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament, said, I don't set aside the grace of God. Realize I need his grace every single moment of every single day because I cannot attain righteousness by trying to be good or do better. In fact, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. When we try to do better, God looks at it and he goes, it still doesn't measure up. But that's why we need the grace of God. I do not set aside the grace of God. Why? Because the only chance that you or I ever have of being anywhere near the standard that God has set for us is through living in and walking in his grace. Grace is so much more than just the fact I messed up and God forgave me. Grace is the empowering nature of God that comes into us and allows us to walk in a standard worthy of the calling that God has placed on our life. But you see, here's the thing. It's not just enough to receive his grace. How do I know that? Because everyone has received the grace of God. Just like everyone's been giving a measure of faith, the ability to believe unto salvation, the Bible says in the book of Titus that the grace of God has appeared to all men. How did the grace of God appear to all men? Well, if you go over to John chapter 1, it says in verse 14 that he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the glory of God, and he was full of grace and truth. So the grace of God appeared to all men in the gift of Jesus that God gave to us. So remember, we're talking about the gifts of Christmas. Through Jesus, we receive the gift of grace. But there are a bunch of people out there that take the grace of God in vain. Kind of like Paul said, I don't set aside the grace of God because if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. Realize the only way I'm going to come into righteousness is by the grace of God. So there's a lot of people that have received the gift of grace, but they haven't activated grace in their life. Here's why. You see, the grace of God doesn't just cover your fault. The grace of God will change you. And a lot of people don't want grace to change them. They want to be forgiven, but they don't want to live right. They want to be covered, but they don't want to be sanctified. They want to be let go of the transgressions of the past, but they don't want to walk into the holiness of the future that God is calling them to, that he will empower them into by his grace. So a lot of people don't want grace, not because it's not good, but because they're scared of the standards that it comes to. Some people say, you know, oh, Jesus came to make life easier. No, if you actually look at what Jesus taught, Jesus came to call us to a higher level, not a lower level. Because in the law, it said, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, if you lust after somebody, you've already committed adultery. The law said, don't kill somebody. Jesus said, if you harbor hatred within their heart towards them, you've already murdered them within your heart. So Jesus didn't come to lower the standard. Jesus came to raise the standard. Why? Because grace is what allows us to go from this level of living to a better level of living, from trying to attain it in our own righteousness to walking in his righteousness. So the grace will instruct you concerning holy living. The grace of God has appeared to all men. Here's what it goes on to say in the book of Titus, teaching us, okay? A lot of people want to receive grace because it makes yesterday better, but nobody wants grace to teach them. Why? Because when you're taught something, now you're accountable for it, right? I don't hold my children guilty for things that they did in ignorance, but once I've taught them right from wrong, when they transgress what I've told them to do or not to do, there are consequences. So a lot of people would rather stay ignorant because once they're taught and they've learned, there's consequences. But the grace of God doesn't just cleanse you, it teaches you. In what? By denying ungodliness and worldly lust that we can live righteously and soberly in this present age. But go back to the beginning. It's all because the grace of God appeared to all men. And it will teach us. Grace is not a means to live in sin. I know we all know that and understand that, but it must be communicated for proper theology to be taught and doctrine to be released into the church, that you need to realize in this church, we don't believe that just because God is gracious, it's okay to live a sinful life. He came to call you to a higher level, not a lower level. Grace is not a means to live in sin, but still be okay with God. Oh, me and God are good. Why? Because there's grace. No, grace will clean your life up. Grace will give you the ability to say no to the things that are trying to separate you from God, teaching you that by denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live righteously and soberly. Here's my favorite part. Even in the present age, the grace of God doesn't go out of style. I don't know about you, but I'm not old, but I've lived long enough that some things in my closet aren't in style anymore, right? There's some things that I put them on and my wife goes, I don't know that you need to wear that anymore. I think that's kind of phased out. That's not cool anymore. Thank God the mustache has come back in style, okay? So there are some things that if you live longer, what goes around comes around, right? Like I remember when some things were in style and then they weren't and now they're back in style. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Here's the cool thing about grace. It will teach us to live righteously and soberly even in this present age. The same grace that God bestowed upon mankind 2,000 years ago is still strong enough and powerful enough to show you how to live righteously even in the midst of a terrible and sinful culture that we are confined to right now in the world, okay? So grace, in essence, is the step stool that elevates us to the level that we need to be at to experience the glory of God. We cannot experience God's glory without God's grace. I'm going to show you that later in Scripture. Because Paul said, all have sinned, meaning no one's perfect. We all find ourselves in need of grace, not just once, not just twice, but we need the grace of God every single moment of every single day. We fall short. How? In our human and fleshly efforts of God's amazing glory. But the problem is that we, for so long, have quoted that scripture by verse instead of by sentence. Here's what I mean by that. I was never the brightest crayon in the box, nor the sharpest tool in the shed, okay? Some of you may find that hard to believe, but I wasn't the best student in school, okay? Yeah, I wasn't blessed with the mind of Einstein. But as I went to school, homeschool, even though it was homeschool, I still learned that there's a difference between a comma and a period. A comma indicates the continuation of a sentence, while a period means that it's the end or the conclusion of a sentence. If you read Romans chapter 3, verse 23, at the end of that verse, before you move into 24, you will not find a period, you will find a comma. But we live like there's a period at the end of that verse. Well, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I guess I'm just going to continue to fall short of the glory of God. I guess I'm just going to continue to be a sinner. There's nothing that bothers me more than when people say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, then you haven't been saved if you're still a sinner. Okay? Once you get saved, your heart is changed. Your mind is changed. I'm not saying you will never sin again, but what I'm saying is that the grace of God will elevate you to a higher level of living. If you got saved and nothing changed, you didn't get saved. Okay, when you get saved, you get what we called, there's a transformation that takes place, okay? There's a time when God will transform you from being a sinner into being someone that is aligned with his heart and aligned with his word and empowered by his grace. So when the writer of Romans, which we know to be Paul, put a comma at the end of verse 23, he had not yet concluded the sentence that he was in process of writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because how many of you know, because of what we talked about last week in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. So that means that when Paul was writing this, he wasn't just saying, these words sound good together, this will make him feel good, this will make him feel bad. He was under the unction of the Holy Spirit as he wrote and penned the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit said, I ain't done. After you said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, you need to put a comma, not a period, because I got something that I want to follow after that. And I want you to understand that the book of Romans was written as a letter, but the following translation of English that would come later is what put chapter and verse so that we could easily study and define where a verse is. And I'm so glad that they did this. But sometimes, because of our human Western mindset, it will hinder our understanding of the Scripture. Because we think, of verses that stand alone. No verse in the Bible stands alone. It was put there all together. And if you don't understand the verse, read the one before it and the one after. If you don't read that, read the whole chapter. If you don't read that chapter, read the one before and the one after. If you don't understand that, read the whole book, because there's context that God was communicating to us. And because we don't read or study or know the Bible anymore, we just take whatever somebody on TBN said and put it as truth because they preached one verse and made it sound really good and they gave definitions. No, you need to be like the Bereans, where the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, they were more fair-minded than those that were in Thessalonica, and they sought the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. So they didn't just take one verse that the writer had written in a letter and said, oh, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. No, it continues after that. Sometimes when we read it that way, we, in our minds and in our understanding and in our living out of the scripture, will put a period where God put a comma. Amen. Because the statement that Paul made didn't end in verse 23, even though the scholars saw fit to split verse 23 from 24. But Paul continued this statement by saying, let's read it again in Romans 3:23. You may not be there, but I'll read it to you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, period. Period is not put after the fact that we've all sinned and we all fall short, period. That's it. I guess that's bad news. No, he says, and we are freely justified. What does that word justified mean? It means declared righteous or fully innocent. All past mistakes, everything is fully waived. It's gone. It's pardoned. No longer bound, no longer burdened by yesterday's mistakes, no longer falling short of God's glory, but he has given to every single person grace to be able to walk in. How are we justified, though? Being justified freely by his grace. Not by our efforts, not by our abilities, but by grace. Which grace, if you study it out in the Greek, it simply means unmerited favor. It means God giving you something you don't deserve. We don't deserve to be forgiven, but he chose to forgive us. We don't deserve to be justified. None of us are innocent. We've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But you know what? God said, you know what? Even though you don't deserve it, even though you don't measure up, even though you're not worthy of it, because you have sinned and you have messed up, I'm going to give you this gift through Jesus Christ called grace that will allow you to be able to walk in the calling that I have planned for you, because without it, you'll never make it. You'll never measure it up. So I want you to know today, there is still enough grace in Jesus Christ to justify you, to cleanse you, no matter what you've done in the past. Stop putting a period where God put a comma. Amen. Realize he isn't done with you. He isn't rejecting you. He is extending to you what you don't deserve to bring you into a place that he created for you, a place that you couldn't earn and you couldn't strive to get to, a place that you could never even dream of being or living, a life that's free from sin, a life that's free from anxiety, a life that's free from addiction, a life that's free from insecurity, free from depression, free from shame and condemnation, free from pride, free from lust, free from the grip of the enemy. Do you realize what God is giving it to us and offering to us by the grace of God? I love what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Realize there's strength that comes from walking in the grace of God. Realize this also, though. On your own, you can't do it. We'll never measure up. We'll always fall short. No amount of willpower or can-do attitude will get you to the place that God has prepared for you. But stepping into the grace that he has given and he has extended to every single person. Listen, no person is outside of the grace of God. How do I know that? You're still here. If you're breathing, there's still a chance. There's still hope. In Exodus chapter 33, we find Moses, who was a mighty man of God. He'd led God's people out of bondage in Egypt, out of slavery, and they were on their way to the promised land, And God had taken Moses up on the mountain and given him the Ten Commandments. And Moses had come back down the mountain and broke them out of anger because of the way that God's people had turned their heart away from the Lord and begun to serve a golden calf. And Moses went back up on the mountain to meet with God. And while Moses was on the mountain meeting with God, we find Exodus chapter 33. And in that chapter, the man of God prayed and he said, "If I have found grace in your sight, show me your way." God replied, "I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Then Moses prayed this, "Please show me your glory." Remember Romans chapter 3, verse 23? Paul, very well knowing the story of Moses, says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are freely justified." By what? By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In that moment of Moses' life, he saw what no man or woman had ever seen before. The goodness of God passed before him, and he saw the glory of God. He encountered God, and this is what, sometimes you have to make these stories personal. Yeah, it's great to hear about what God did for Moses, but what about what God wants to do for you? What about how God wants to reveal himself to Tim or to Bruce or to Creighton or to Pastor Lauren or to Shane or to anyone that is here? What a, put yourself personally in the situation to go, what does God want to do in my life that I've never seen him do before? What does God want to reveal to me about himself that because of my previous way of living, I haven't quite yet been able to understand? I've fallen short of seeing the glory of God. I've fallen short of seeing the fullness of who he is. I've fallen short of realizing what he wants to do in my life. He encountered God in a way he had never encountered him before. And I want to ask you today, do you want a deeper revelation of God? There should be inside of each and every one of us every morning saying, "God, I want to know you better than I knew you yesterday." Guess what? It's impossible without grace. Why? Because without grace, we'll fall short. We won't see it. We won't realize it. We won't be able to comprehend it. Do you want to see the goodness of God? Do you want to see the glory of God in your life, in your house, in your job, in this church, in this community? I do. Well, guess what? None of it's going to happen if we don't walk in the grace of God. None of it's going to happen because we try harder. None of it's going to happen because we're more talented. None of it's going to happen because we are the coolest church or because we have the best music or because we have the best nursery or because we have the best building. Guess what? Getting in a building of our own is not going to make us a better church. You know what is going to make us a better church? Saying, "God, show us your way, show us your glory, and I realize I can't get there without your grace." You know, I know what God's been speaking to me lately? That I can't do it on my own. But if I tap into his grace, if I tap into his mercy, if I tap into his loving kindness, it's better than life itself. It all hinges on grace. You know why? We can't measure up. A door can't swing without a hinge. You ever realize that, yeah, the door is something that you walk through. It's something that it moves, but it only moves because there's a hinge. We cannot walk into the next season that God has for us unless there is grace that will activate and will allow us to walk into that. We will always fall short on our own. But thankfully, God realized that. Here's what I love about God. He's so perfect that he saw problems before they even existed and created solutions before they were even needed. That's like, you ever wonder why trees lose their leaves? There's a reason. Because in areas where there's heavy snowfall in the wintertime, the leaves would actually grab the moisture and it would eventually become so heavy that the trees would break in two. So God saw fit, during the fall, I'll give people something beautiful to look at, but then the trees, they're going to go away. Why? So they can enjoy them next year again. God saw the problem before anyone even knew that there needed to be a solution. And so God saw the need for Jesus in mankind. That's why, you ever wondered, why does it say before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain? Because God knew that we needed Jesus before there was even proof that we needed Jesus. He saw the solution and created the solution even before there was a problem in the present time. So thankfully, God sent Jesus who justifies us, not because we deserved it. If he would have waited until we deserved it to send Jesus, we'd still be waiting on Jesus to come. But because he loves us, not because we earned it, but because he chose to give him. I have found there's only one recipe for more grace, and it only has one ingredient. You ever found something that you wanted to make Maybe it's around the holiday time. Maybe guys, you want to, you know, find the ingredient to make the perfect steak or the perfect burgers or to some kind of barbecue. Or ladies, you want to make a cake and you realize, I have everything I need to make this. I don't even have to go to the store, right? I mean, that is just, there's nothing worse than getting ready to make dinner or getting ready to make a snack or whatever it is, and you realize I don't have what I need because there's so many ingredients. Well, I found that getting more grace, there's one recipe and there's one ingredient. You ready? Humility. The only way to get grace is through humility. How do I know that? Because two times in the Word of God, it says this: God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In fact, in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, but he, speaking of God, gives more grace. I don't know about you, but I want more grace in my life. Why? Because I understand and realize my need for it. The more I grow with God, I don't outgrow grace. I grow in my understanding of how much I need his grace. And so he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Last night, Bryce Young won the Heisman Trophy. Yeah, that's awesome. Great. I'm joking. I'm not an Alabama fan. I understand there are many Alabama fans here. He's an incredible young man, incredible athlete. But have you ever seen the Heisman Trophy? It's the guy that's got his knee up and his hand out. He's stiff-arming a player, and he's running away. And it represents the best player in college football receives that. Really, it's just the best offensive player in college football, if we're going to get down to it, okay? But that's another thing for another time. I need to get back to the sermon. We're not talking about football. But I brought that up for a reason. That word resists, where it says God resists the proud, it literally means to stiff-arm and keep at a distance, okay? Just like a football player that has a goal to reach the end zone and a defensive player comes against him would stick his hand out and push the player away to create space between he and them so that he could score the touchdown. The Bible says that anyone that walks in pride, God resists. We see this from before mankind was ever created, when Satan, who was at that time called Lucifer, was in heaven. He exalted himself and tried to be equal with God, and God threw him out of heaven. So this is just in God's nature. If you walk in pride, God will resist you. But do you know who God gives grace to, that unmerited favor? People that are humble. So what I want to tell you today is be humble enough to accept and admit, I need your grace. Needing grace doesn't make you anything less than what he wants you to be. Sometimes we think grace is just for people that are weak, people that are sinners. That's exactly what it's for, because we're all weak. And we have all sinned. But here's the good news. His grace is sufficient. That means his grace doesn't fall short. That means that his grace doesn't come behind lacking. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect even in the midst of our weaknesses. So the areas where you're weak, you need to accept and admit, God, I need your grace. Sometimes we can become so spiritual and so prideful and so seemingly mature that we overlook the tremendous need for his grace. It's easy to become so lofty that we forget, if I don't have his grace, I'm nothing. I, for one, am not ashamed to say, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Pass me not, my Savior. I come to thee. I'm not ashamed to say, it's grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of my sin. It's not because I'm some super duper spiritual, awesome person that I can walk in the fullness of what he has for me, or that I can do what he's called me to do. I can't do anything without his grace. Nothing that is worthwhile, nothing that will measure up in the level of eternity. Grace is so much more than God overlooking our sin. It's the pathway to eternity with him. Do you realize that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Listen, it's by grace that we're saved. That's his part, okay? He gives the grace that enables us to be saved, but it's through faith. That's our part, okay? So he gives the grace so that we can be saved, but we have to activate the faith. But listen, even the faith that we used to be saved was the measure that he gave to us. And when you believe on him unto salvation, it's the faith that is a gift from him, and it's not of you. He made salvation, listen to this, he made salvation acceptable only through avenues that he created and gave so that we would know, has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with his grace and his mercy and the faith that he gave me. So we're able to walk in salvation and freedom only because he wanted us to. Not because of anything that we did. And I'm so thankful for the grace by which I've been saved and the faith through which he has given me. I'm so thankful that grace doesn't leave us in our sin, but it teaches us. It guides us. It instructs us. And I'm so thankful for the scripture that I read or that I quoted earlier in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. I want you to know, you will never reach the end of God's grace. You can run. You can hide, but just like that prodigal son, when you choose it's time to come home, the grace of God will be waiting for you to wrap his arms around you. You will never reach the end of God's grace. He is full. That word full means abounding. It means that Jesus is just full. You ever looked at somebody and said, you're full of it? You didn't mean something good at that point, but you can look at Jesus and say, you are full of grace and you are full of truth. And here's what I want you to understand. Grace and truth are perfect partners. Just like Pastor Madison and me, okay? We just go well together like peanut butter and jelly, right? There's nobody else I'd rather do life with. Well, grace and truth are perfect partners. Here's why. Because grace with no truth is meaningless, but truth with no grace is mean, okay? It's harsh. You can't measure up to the truth if you don't have the grace. But if all you have is the grace, there's no reason to try to do anything, okay? Or to be anything. But it's the grace of God that allows you to walk in the truth of God. If you go over to the book of John chapter 8, it says, you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Okay? So the freedom that we need is only accessible by the grace, because without the grace, we'll never measure up to the truth. And I came to remind you today of how badly you need God's grace. Why? Because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. But guess what? We've also all been freely justified by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So, like Paul said, I don't set aside the grace of God. I don't reject. I don't resist. I don't stiff arm the grace of God. Because why? If I stiff arm the grace of God, God will stiff arm me. Because then in that moment, I'm being prideful and I'm never more like the devil than when I'm being prideful. And I have to realize I need the grace of God, and the only ingredient the only avenue upon which God gives more grace is the avenue of humility. He gives grace to those that are humble, those that are able to say, God, I need you. Like Paul said, he said, I prayed that God would take away the thorn that was in my flesh. You know what God responded to him? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect even in your weakness. No matter what you're facing today, what you feel like you can't overcome, you can't walk through, you can't measure up to, the grace of God will enable you and empower you, not because you deserve it, not because you earn it, but because he chose to give the gift of Jesus Christ and to justify you. That doesn't mean that you can continue to do whatever you want and be okay with God. It means that when you choose to receive and accept and walk in the grace of God, he will teach you, he will guide you, he will instruct you, he will lead you, and he will help you to be what you could not be apart from the grace of God. Because righteousness doesn't come through you striving and from the law and you trying to do everything the right way. It comes from you saying, God, I need your grace, and I want to walk in your grace so that I can find your truth and I can be set free by the word that you have spoken to me. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet with me today? What I want to do is, as every head bowed and every eye is closed, I want us to take a moment and allow God to pour out his grace upon his people. Now realize, again, grace is not just the forgiveness of the past. Grace is the empowerment to be who he has called us to be and to measure up to what he has created for us. And so right now, if you find yourself in need of grace, would you just lift your hands in a manner of saying, I need the grace of God. You're showing an example of saying, I will humble myself enough to admit and to say, I can't do it on my own, God. I've been trying. I've been striving. I've been putting my best foot forward. I've been trying to have a good attitude. I've been trying to stay positive. I've been trying to love my spouse. I've been trying to treat my children right. I've been trying to be faithful in my finances and faithful in my marriage. I've been trying to do a good job at work, but I'm not measuring up. I've been trying to minister to people. I've I've been trying to be who you've called me to be, but I haven't quite been able to be and to measure up because I realize I've been trying to do it in my own strength. And right now, I am accessing the grace of God by saying, I need you, God. I can't do it on my own. I am lost without you. I will always fall short, but right now, I stand in the grace that you have given me, and I walk in it, and I choose. I want to be a person who is full of the grace of God, who is strong in the grace of God, who doesn't try to do it in my own strength or in my own ability. But I just say, would you sing this with me? I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, pass me not, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing it one more time. I need thee, oh, I need thee. In every hour I need thee. Oh, pass me not, my Savior, I come to thee. And amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, we thank you for the grace that was given through Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray over your people today that not just right now in this moment, but tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day, we would be people that admit our need for your grace, walk in your grace, allow your grace to teach us, correct us, help us, and lead us. And we say thank you for sending Jesus Christ. Thank you that you didn't spare him, even though you could have, but you chose to give him as a gift to us. And by him, and only by him, can we have the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may you walk in the grace that is in Christ Jesus every single moment of every single day. And it's in his precious name that I pray. Amen.